so thankful to the Lord for His blessings during the course of this meeting. And I'm thankful for the Lord for filling your hearts with the unconditional love and the hospitality we've seen in this place. For the hospitality of Brother Wynn and Sister Laura's home. We're so thankful for that. I ask that you pray for me as I stand before you. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. It says, and one of the Pharisees, this is verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. That is, he desired the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his home and to eat with him. He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, usually the word behold in the Bible is put there to get our attention. It's a heralding type word, behold. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. This woman was likely a well-known sinner. This woman's reputation was likely very well known in the community, and it wasn't a good reputation. It was likely a very bad reputation. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Here's a woman that's a great sinner. She's a notorious sinner, and likely that whole community knew it. And she hears where Jesus is. She wants to go and be where He is. She heard where he was, so she went there. Do you desire to be with the Lord Jesus? I do. He's told us where he'll be. Says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of him. If we want to be with the Lord Jesus, we need to go where Jesus is. And Jesus told us, when you meet together, I'll be there. I'll sing praises in the midst of my brethren. I'll sing praise unto thee. And I'm going to tell you, wait, may we never miss opportunities where the saints of God are gathered together and our Lord has promised, I'll be there for us to go where He is. Amen. Hear this woman, she hears where He is. She goes to the only place in this world she can go to. That's to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has what she needs. She's weeping. She's weeping over her own sin. Why? She's obviously a born-again child of God. She's been brought to a knowledge of her sinfulness and her bankruptcy before the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows. You know, that's one of the first things that happens to us as a little child of God when we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. We see the greatness of the glory of God. We see our own blackness. Isaiah saw that in Isaiah chapter 6. He said in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah was a good king. It's hard when you lose a good leader. It can bring some fear. In the year that King Uzziah died, the people were likely a little concerned and afraid. A great leader, a godly leader had died. But in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord. See, the Lord's still on His throne. When earthly leaders come and earthly leaders go, God's still on His throne. In the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And His train, that is the train of the Lord's robe, filled the temple. He saw God very high. Now let's see how Isaiah sees himself. He said, woe is me, for I am undone. He saw his own sin. He saw the blackness of his own sin. He saw the darkness of his own sin. He saw his condemnation before God. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." I'm going to tell you, we get into trouble doing two things when we don't see God as high as we ought to see Him, and we don't see ourselves as low as we ought to see ourselves. We get in trouble in either case. When I see Mark Quarles higher than I ought to see Him, I get into trouble. When I see the Lord lower than I should see Him, I get into trouble. She's weeping so much over her own sin that she's actually weeping so much, she's able to wash the Lord's feet with her tears. That's a lot of weeping.
Right.
You know, we have a political culture in our day that you're just not supposed to cry. I was speaking to one of our judges the other day, and he's a godly man, and I thank God for him. One of his children had been going down the wrong path, and it was pretty clear that the Lord was really working in her life, and she was trying harder to follow the Lord, and she had done some things that encouraged him as her father. And as he was telling about how good God was, he began to weep. And he kept apologizing. He said, "Mark, I'm sorry, I'm upset." And I said, "Don't apologize, Judge. There are times we need to weep. There are times to weep. I know everybody has different personalities, and I tend to be more emotional than your average guy. But I'm going to tell you, there's always a time where anybody, there's a time to weep." Why do I say that? Because Jesus wept.
Right.
There's a time to weep.
Right.
There's a time to weep. She brought the best that she had. She's weeping and mourning over her own sins at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She is literally washing His feet with her tears, and she's wiping them with the hairs of her head. She's not only loving Him, she is showing Him her love. It's always good for us to tell each other we love each other, but it's even better to show it by our service. She brought the very best that she had. She brought an alabaster box of ointment. Very, very precious. Very, very costly. She brought the best that she had. What do we bring in our service to the Lord? What do we bring? Do we bring the best that we have? The Lord one time rebuked His people saying, "You're offering polluted bread. Put malt. You're bringing the blind and the halt and the maimed as sacrifices." What do we bring? Do we give the world all of our time and attention and give the Lord the leftovers? What do we bring when we come to His feet? What do I bring? She stood at His feet, behind Him, weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed His feet and anointed Him with the ointment. I'm going to tell you, this scene is very personal. Her hair is touching Him. She is kissing His feet. It's a very personal interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when we're blessed to meet with the Lord in His house, and we're blessed to feel by the Holy Spirit the touch of His gentle hand, I'm going to tell you, it's a personal thing. Where we can feel our Savior and our Lord.
Right.
It's personal.
Right.
Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden Him, saw it, he spake within himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." He doesn't say it out loud. He's just thinking it. The Lord knows our thoughts. The Lord knew his thoughts. And he's going to hear about it. He not only looks with disdain upon this woman, he looks with disdain upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Said, if this man were really a prophet, he'd know what manner of woman this was, for she is a sinner. I'm going to tell you, we've all got a little bit of this Pharisee in us. Let's be honest. Is it easier for you to see your sin or somebody else's? You know the reason we talk about politics as much as we do? It's easy to talk about how bad the White House is, how bad the Supreme Court is, how bad the legislative branch, the Senate and the House are. It's easy for us to talk about their sins. We start thinking about what I need to do. The room tends to get a little quieter. What do we need to do? Well, I thought we was talking about them. He looks at her with disdain. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? One owed him 500 pence. One owed 50. Who'll love him most? The one that owed most. The one that saw, my debt is greater. While there was a difference in the amount of debt, neither one of them had anything to pay. Now I'm going to tell you, we all come before the Lord much like this woman with nothing to pay. With our sins being great. With nothing to pay. The Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My old deputy chief that retired told me one time, he said, there were two kind of folks in the Mississippi Delta. He said, there were poor folks, and they had a little money. Then he said, there was the poor folks, and they didn't have no money. I'm going to tell you, we all come before the Lord as poor folks. We all come before the Lord not with a little to pay. We come before the Lord with nothing to pay. Nothing. Guilt. Bankrupt. She came with that attitude. She came in that demeanor. Simon answered him and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. He said unto them, thou hast rightly judged. You know, sometimes it's easier for us to judge a hypothetical situation than it is when we're involved in it. David found that out, didn't he? Nathan comes to David and said, there was a man that was very rich, and he had many plots, and he had many herds. He said he had a neighbor, just had one little ewe lamb. He loved that ewe lamb, and that ewe lamb grew up just like one of his children. Yeah, he ate of his food. That rich man that had many flocks and herds has a neighbor that come. And instead of taking of the abundance of his flocks and of his herds, he takes that poor man's one little ewe lamb that he loved very much. And he takes it and offers it and slaughters it and offers it to his company. David becomes enraged and said, that man should die. Nathan looks at him, says, David, thou art the man. What had David done? He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he had had her husband, a noble soldier in the king's army, killed and executed. He sent him into battle knowing he would be killed, and he did it on purpose. He killed him. Nathan said, David, thou art the man. A lot of times it's easier for us to judge a hypothetical situation than if we're involved in it. The Pharisees' answer's right. The one whom he forgave most. He said, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. And I love that he turned to her. He's speaking to Simon, but he's looking at her. And he's really speaking to her too. When you look at what he says. He said, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. The Lord Jesus very methodically now compares Simon's service to him with her service. He says, Simon, seest thou this woman? You've been looking at her sin. You've been thinking about her bad reputation. But seest this woman. Look at her heart. Look at her love. Look at her service to me. Do you see her now, Simon? Brother Scott was talking about perspective. Sometimes we can be so quick to look for the bad, we don't ever stop to look for the good. We can be guilty of that. He said, Simon, you didn't give me any water for my feet. That would have been customary hospitality for that day, especially for a great teacher, a great rabbi, to come into his home. He said, you didn't do it. But this woman, look at what she did. She's washed my feet with her tears. Look at her service. She's wiped them with the hairs of her head. Said, Simon, thou gavest me no kiss. Again, customary hospitality for the day. But this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss my feet. Look at her service. Look at her love. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. And I hazard to guess Simon could have afforded the ointment way better than this woman. But he didn't even put any oil, not expensive, on the Lord Jesus' head. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. He didn't gloss over his sins. He didn't just look over them. He said, she's got many sins, but they are forgiven. I'm going to tell you that's good news. And I'm going to tell you, there's only one place she could have gone in the whole world to have gotten the good news she got that day. And that was at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Amen. For He has authority to forgive sins. He has authority. One time the Pharisees rebuked Jesus and said, only God can forgive sins. Yeah, that's right. But Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. And He has the authority to forgive sins. And he said, this woman's sins, though they are many, they're forgiven. And she finds the sweet good news at the feet of her Savior. I'm a forgiven sinner. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm forgiven. I love last night when Brother Lonnie began to talk about hell. That may sound a little funny. We don't ever need to forget what Jesus saved us from. Now I'm going to tell you the worst thing about no hellism is it mitigates and undervalues the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus did more than saved us from a little trials and tribulations in this life. He did more than that.
Right.
But He saved us from an eternity in a burning, fiery hell where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. He saved us from that. And we all deserved it.
Right.
Our sins, which are many, are forgiven. Said, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Said, she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Let me ask you a question. Who is the Lord forgiven little? Nobody. Everybody that's been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ has been forgiven much, like this woman. But sometimes we can be Pharisaical in our thinking, and we can think we've just been forgiven little. Now I'm going to tell you that'll hurt our service before God. We think we've been forgiven little, it'll show in our service. We'll come in the Lord's house. We'll do like Simon did. We won't really serve. We don't have the desire to anoint the Lord's head, but wash His feet. But when we realize how much we've been forgiven, you know, and there's a line there. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for it unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, there were some things Paul needed to forget. He needed to forget what a big man he was amongst the Jews and how powerful he was, how respected he was. He needed to forget that. But I'm going to tell you there's some other things he needed to forget. He needed to forget the saints of God that He had called upon for their death. He needed to forget those things. He needed to forget how He had been there when Stephen was stoned and He called upon his death. He was consenting unto his death. He needed to forget those things to this extent. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. And those things could have crippled the ministry of the Apostle Paul if he had carried those throughout his life like he had not been forgiven. Those things could have crippled him and his ministry. And I'm going to tell you to this extent. While we need to forget the things that are washed in the blood, we should never forget how much we've been forgiven.
Right.
If we ever think we've been forgiven little, we're going to love little. And it's going to show in our service. We need to never forget the Lord has forgiven us so much.
Amen.
You know, the Lord here could have. He knew what Simon was thinking. He could have gone one by one through all this woman's sins and announced them. He had the ability to do that, but He didn't. Why? They're forgiven. Never to be brought up again. They're separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Never to be remembered again. They're forgiven. And I would to God we'll remember every day that we live how much we're forgiven. And we're come to God with the sacrifice that God desires of worship, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, realizing we come before the Lord broken and guilty, bankrupt sinners, but we realize we're forgiven sinners. And it should show in our worship. You know, I used to think that when I did something good, I had a belief system that I thought heaven's just going to be a little bit better when I get there. You think, man, you believe that? You was trying to do good stuff all the time. Yeah, but I'd say for the wrong reason. But now I want to do good. But it's not so heaven will be any brighter. But it's in thanksgiving. For all that the Lord has done for me. It's in thanksgiving that I, like this woman, come before Him guilty and weeping over my sins. But He has said to us through the good news of the gospel, thy sins, which are many, they're forgiven. And that makes me want to love more and more and more every day that I live. That makes me want to serve Him in a more precious way. Not to get something, because of what I've already been blessed to receive. Thy sins, which are many, forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. May I realize every day of my life how much I've been forgiven, and Lord, help it to show the way that I live my life. God, greet you, bless you, my friend.